WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Former President Trump arrived at court in New York about a half an hour ago for a civil trial that could cost him control of Trump Tower and other prized properties. Correspondent Robert Costa is in Lower Manhattan.
Today, the trial will begin in the civil case brought by New York Attorney General Letitia James last September. She accuses Trump, his sons Donald Jr. and Derek, and the Trump Organization of inflating the value of properties by hundreds of millions of dollars and pumping up Trump's own net worth, all while pursuing favorable bank loans.
James spoke as she entered the courthouse.
No one is above the law, and it is my responsibility and my duty and my job to enforce it.
The fallout begins for the House Speaker after he reached a weekend agreement with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. Correspondent Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz has been a longtime critic of Speaker Kevin McCarthy, but this week he says he will finally make good on his threat to force the Speaker out.
For the first time since they walked out in July, striking actors will begin negotiations with Hollywood studios and producers. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier.
The hope is that now that the writer's deal is done, the actors will sit down at the table, the studios and the actors will bang out a deal and get this thing over with.
Late night talk shows return with a slate of fresh episodes tonight. The CDC is planning to endorse a common antibiotic as a morning after sex pill to reduce record levels of sexually transmitted diseases. Studies show gay and bisexual men who take doxycycline within 3 days of unprotected relations are far less likely to contract chlamydia, syphilis, or gonorrhea. This year's Nobel Prize in Medicine has been awarded to two scientists who helped change the course of the pandemic. CBS's Vicky Barker.
Collaborators Catalin Carrico and U.S.-born Drew Weissman won for breakthroughs that enabled the development of the mRNA COVID vaccines. The announcement was delayed slightly. Weissman was only reached minutes before. The committee's Thomas Perlman said Weissman was overwhelmed. As for Carrico,
10 years ago, she told me that she was terminated from her current position and had to move to Germany for another position without her family and so forth.
About that $1.04 billion up for grabs in tonight's Powerball, this mom from Wisconsin has some thoughts.
I have two kids. I'm too busy. I just go in and grab my ticket and pray for the best. Oh, I would pay everything off, buy a house, and probably never work again.
The prize shot up after no one won Saturday night. The Dow is down 104 points. S&P off 4. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed two reply briefs in an effort to confirm abortion services will be offered in the state. Attorney General Call filed the briefs in support of a motion asking the Dane County Circuit Court for a final judgment confirming a July ruling that stated an 1849 law did not criminalize consensual abortion in the state. Regardless of the decision, the case is likely to advance to the state Supreme Court. A man wanted by the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Office has been found and arrested on the other side of the state. According to a press release, 28-year-old Mitchell Henke was taken into custody by law enforcement officials in Oshkosh on Friday afternoon. He was held in the Winnebago County Jail to await transportation to Eau Claire County. Henke was wanted in connection to a report of a physical domestic abuse and is accused of assaulting a woman with a firearm. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Yes, filling in for the new mom. She is officially a new mom. Frances Louise Rye Sampson joined us on Thursday afternoon about 1:30. So we finally saw some pictures on Friday, and I saw a couple more pictures over the weekend. She looks adorable and teeny, and everyone is doing well. So that's all good news. We are going to be joined by the one and only journeyman talker, Todd Alba, in just a little bit, who has his own program, of course, the Todd Alba Show, across the Civic Media Network, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. So we're working on some connection issues right now. He will be joining us in just a little bit. Coming up next hour, something I would like you to think of ahead of time. There is an article about the Milwaukee Brewers and their potential to win the World Series this year, and the author of an article in USA Today had some interesting takes on Wisconsin and what life is like in Wisconsin. And so we're going to talk about Wisconsin misconceptions and what people get wrong when they think about Wisconsin. To start off with, though, deal or no deal, yep, they actually did make a deal. Over the weekend, the government did not shut down, thankfully, at the very last minute. A deal was reached, but it's only temporary, so they're going to have to come back to this in another 45 days, and we will be back in the same place that we were, Greg Bach.
Yay. I think I said something for that. Good job, Congress.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Way to do the... Way to C-minus your way right out of this class.
So what did they get out of all of this? Well, there's a great article in the Daily Beast by David Rothkopf, and he says, had the great Maya Angelou been alive to witness Saturday's climax of the omnishambolic dog's breakfast of a misbegotten legislative process that happened in the U.S. Wow. Representatives, surely she would have said, quote, when a political party tells you over and over again that they have no higher priority than serving Vladimir Putin, believe them.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
At the critical moment in which they had one last chance to avert a government shutdown, Republicans in the House abandoned all of their legislative priorities but one,
The one they chose to ditch was vital U.S. aid to Ukraine. In doing so, they sent the world an unmistakable signal once again that the first and guiding loyalty of Donald Trump's GOP is, as it has always been, the loyalty is to the Kremlin. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Who wins in this deal? Does anybody win in this deal? 844-967-2789. Still waiting for Todd Alba to join us. That should be happening any moment now. I can see him. It looks like a really scenic place where he is broadcasting from. We're just having some connection issues. We will get that resolved in just a little bit. Greg, he is...
One, two.
There we go.
I'm testing.
We can
there
hear
we go,
you.
Todd. Working.
We can hear you.
Oh, my God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Todd Alba. Where are you?
I'm on my balcony. It's a lovely day, Matt. So I thought, well, I'll just come out here and sit in the balcony and, you know, have coffee with two wonderful people, with Jane and Greg. But, you know, technology hates me. That's what it is.
Is your Wi-Fi not reaching quite that far?
I literally have the Civic Media Wi-Fi hotspot right here, 6 inches, you know, from my computer. And it says full bars, 5G. And yet it doesn't work.
Well, we got you now. And we're happy. We'll take you right
exactly.
Now.
Lovely to be here. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
We were kicking around the lack of a government shutdown on Saturday and this pretty hot piece in the Daily Beast explaining that pretty much Vladimir Putin is the big winner now that they didn't reach a deal. And the only thing that they took out was aid for Ukraine.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's undisputable that the big winner over the weekend was Vladimir Putin and Russia. And I think it's sad and pathetic that Republicans, demanded this. And, you know, the ironic thing was Derek Van Orten, the Republican congressman from Western Wisconsin, the 3rd District, put out a video over the weekend in which he blamed Democrats for, quote unquote, slow walking this bill and holding up border security and holding up defense spending. I mean, completely contrary. The final vote in the House had 91 members voting no, 90 of whom belonged to the Republican Party, one of whom belonged to the Democratic Party, and that vote was strictly over a protest over the fact that he's part of the Ukrainian caucus and there was no money to Ukraine. So, I mean, this is where Republicans are at, particularly Derek Van Orten in this state, blaming blatant lies on who was holding things up.
Well, and even Kevin McCarthy tried that yesterday. I don't think it was on Meet the Press. I think it was on MSNBC. And the interviewer burst out laughing when he said that. He said, you know, this is the Democrats' fault that we almost came to a shutdown. And she just said, the Democrats voted with you to pass this measure.
I mean, in fact, you're absolutely right, Jane. The truth is, had it not been for Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House, and a majority of the Democratic caucus, government would be shut down right now because Republicans could not get it done on their own. Matt Gaetz is now calling for a vote to remove Kevin McCarthy this week as Speaker of the House simply because he worked with Democrats. Now, let's not give McCarthy too much credit here. He's no hero. But the fact is, it took Democrats to keep government running.
Yeah, for sure. Again, this claim that there are certainly issues at the border, that's not under dispute, I don't think. But no. Claiming that we have an open border policy and absolutely nothing is being done is completely disingenuous and a lie. And then to blame the Democrats for being the one to withhold funding, because if the government shut down border security, those people would not get paid, correct?
Correct. And that's what Mitch McConnell himself, you know, certainly no liberal progressive Mitch McConnell. He was making this point on the Senate floor, I believe, on Friday, that a vote against the continuing resolution to keep government funded was a vote for open borders because you're basically defunding border security. That's from Mitch McConnell.
Of all people.
All right. That's not from a Democrat. That's from Mitch McConnell. I'll give Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans a couple of props at least. I mean, they had put together 77 votes in the Senate over the weekend, a bipartisan group. I mean, when did the Senate vote 77 to whatever on anything? So, I mean, at least there was a sense that, look, we can't have military families going unpaid. We can't have TSA families going unpaid. We can't have people that are on government programs not having their funding, kids going hungry. I mean, there is at least that. That's the bottom line we're at right now in Washington, D.C. Well, I guess people should eat.
That's so magnanimous of them. Well, and you know who they did want to get paid, though, is themselves. And this is according to MTN, Brett Michalis. This is the Midas Touch Network. Republicans put forward their last-ditch effort to avert a government shutdown Saturday, calling a vote on a bill just minutes after sharing it with House Democrats. Democrats did their best to prolong time so they could actually read about the bill. Rather than making a serious effort to write a bill that has a chance of passing in the Senate, Republicans threw their wish list items into the measure. One of the things House Republicans made sure to include was a pay raise, not for hardworking Americans at risk by their own actions, but for themselves.
Imagine that.
Imagine that at the last minute they would try and sneak in a pay raise for members of Congress.
Who's shocked?
I guess no one should be shocked. I wish I could work up some shock. It's almost expected, right?
You're just incapable of shock.
What is shocking anymore?
That sounds like a Jane Fonda workout. You're working up the shock.
Working up the shock waves. I mean, right. I think we just become so used to these sneaky actions, and they're only acting in their own self-interests. I guess it's just, yep, this is how we do business.
Well, of course, they were already going to get paid regardless of whether the government was open or not. They've carved out that little niche for themselves. So military families would go unpaid. Members of Congress would still continue to get paid. We had a cut from, I forget the guy's name, a congressman, Republican from New York. And a reporter asked him, and said, are you aware, you're aware, obviously, that you get paid. And he had the audacity to look at the camera and say, I'm not sure how that works. And so she went through it. She went through it and told him how it worked and directly said, are you going to take your pay? Well, yes, I will. But I don't think people have, I think the quote was, I don't think people, Americans, have a lot of empathy for people who are going to be furloughed, who are going to be. So basically, I mean, he's saying Americans, in his opinion, that Americans didn't have empathy for military families going unpaid, but he was just fine taking his paycheck of whatever it is, $250,000.
That, it's just mind-boggling. It is. And
it is.
That an elected representative can come and show their complete ignorance on something that they're voting on in their own self-interest, and they have to have it explained to them. Isn't that just a sign of how little you need to know about this job?
I think also they bet on the fact that the people who vote for them don't get so nuanced and so into the information that all they have to say is the Democrats did it. And they're like, that sounds good to me. And then they just turn it off. And then they don't have to deal with any of the repercussions of these representatives being idiots.
Well, and remember, guys, for those across Wisconsin, particularly up in the North Woods, up in Tom Tiffany's district, or down in the southeast Wisconsin or south central east Wisconsin, Scotty Fitzgerald, those two yahoos voted no on the final resolution.
If you want to find their phone numbers and you're one of their constituents, just go to myvote.wi.gov. That will tell you who all your representatives are and how you can contact them. Because as we've talked to Todd, it does make a difference if it's done in the right way. We will keep this going on the other side of the break. Please stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Put it in the
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. 84 our high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 63. Tomorrow partly cloudy, becoming breezy. 81 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. After that, it's going to be cooler. Wednesday's high 71. We're talking highs in the low 50s by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinier filling in for Kristen Bry. Greg Buck is on the board. We are joined by journeyman talker Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. You can catch it across the Civic Media Network every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Joining us from his beautiful balcony overlooking his very scenic backyard. You can always join us.
The trees are in color.
They are. They're not turning yet. It looks very summer-like, actually.
We're going to Todd's house tomorrow to do the show from his place.
Right? Who's? Oh yeah. Well, no, you'd have to be here.
I'll make it work. Okay. I'll bring a mobile app, and we'll do. Yeah, this is happening.
We'll be good to go.
Just a cup of coffee, sitting on that balcony.
Looks nice.
Right?
You can always join us 844-967-2789. You can call or text, and you can comment if you're watching the live stream on Twitter or Facebook or wherever you do such streamy things. We are talking about the fact that there was not a government shutdown over the weekend. It went down to the nth hour, and they finally came up with an agreement that will keep the government funded for another 45 days. The one thing that they insisted be taken out was any aid to Ukraine, and all kinds of people were checking in on this decision, including Liz Cheney, you know, that big Democrat from that big Democratic family. Always been Democrats. And
in that big Democratic state.
Yeah, and pushing Democratic policies. That Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney put on Twitter, members of the House and Senate who are voting to deny Ukraine assistance on the 85th anniversary of Neville Chamberlain's 1938 peace in our time speech should read some history. Appeasement didn't work then, and it's not going to work now.
I think that was pretty powerful.
Right?
I mean, true, as it turns out, true.
Yes, very true. As it says in this Daily Beast article, apt point, just as Hitler saw Chamberlain's weakness as the opening he was looking for, surely Vladimir Putin saw the GOP message for what it was, encouragement for his aggression from the party of Trump, a clear signal all he'll have to do is wait until the next election cycle, and if they win, a Republican-led America would abandon Ukraine, our allies in Europe, and reward Putin's brutality, by extending his reach ever more deeply into the heart of Europe. And I am genuinely baffled, Todd. The party of Ronald Reagan is now the party of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
We just love Vlad.
We do love him.
We love Vlad. When did that transition start? Was that still?
Boy, that wasn't when
you were a Republican up until 2011.
Oh, yeah, I left the party in 2011. No, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Ronald Reagan standing at the Berlin Wall and, you know, saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And you know, I've talked last week on the show about, you know, that one time I was a huge Reagan person. And look, it's a story for another day. But I mean, I think there were parts of Reagan that were okay. But certainly the economic policies, the trickle-down economics, it was an abysmal failure. But one of the tenets of Reagan, which I did agree with, was and still do, is that you have to contain communism. You have to, you know, protect. It is the responsibility, whether we like it or not, of the United States to protect democracy, not to go conquer people, but to protect our European allies, to stand with them. And, you know, tyranny, authoritarianism, fascism, they spread if you don't stand up to them. And Reagan was a huge proponent of that. And it's to your point, Jane. This party, and whether you want to talk about it happening, I really believe it happened with the start of, really started with the with Trump. I mean, there were tenets of it as early as 2012 that were in the party, but I think once Trump got in there, it's pretty hard to think that Trump is not compromised in some way. If you look at the entire history of the Trump administration, you look at Jared Kushner getting $2 billion from Saudi Arabia, which of course isn't Russia, but I mean, it's just a corrupt administration, in my opinion.
I don't think that's under dispute. Well, at least amongst us, I'm sure some would dispute that. But I truly find it baffling that, from my understanding, we have spent 5% of our defense budget in this aid to Ukraine, and yet that 5% that we have used has helped to decimate the Russian armed forces. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jane. And again, let's not take it from a guy who left the Republican Party or people who might have more progressive tendencies. Let's look again at the standard bearer for the Republican Party in 2012, Mitt Romney, who in a forthcoming book, there have been leaks coming out, some of it in The Atlantic with some great reporting. But Mitt Romney made this point that you just made, Jane, that 5% of our defense budget has gone to Ukraine. There is plenty left to protect the border. There's plenty left to take care of our own military. You know, so this whole, you know, narrative that by helping Ukraine, we're sacrificing other things, it's just absolutely false. And again, that's coming from the Republican standard bearer, the presidential nominee, Mitt Romney from 2012.
Well, Mitt Romney, you know, again, long, long history of Democratic policies and a long, long Democratic family that he's coming from. And he's just not trustworthy, Todd, because, you know, he was a Republican for all of his life. And now when you say hard things, it's like, well, now you're a rhino. Now you say the things we don't want to hear, right? And now you're a rhino.
But it's a great example. And again, I'm not saying that people have to agree with all the policies of the people I'm going to mention. But to your point, these people like Mitt Romney and good Lord, even Newt Gingrich was on the air last week attacking Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
Ronald Reagan. You know, Paul Ryan was here in Madison last week, you know, saying flat out, you know, if Donald Trump is the nominee, we lose. And I mean, so really, are Republicans today saying you're no longer the party of Paul Ryan, Newt Gingrich, and Ronald Reagan? I mean, how far to the right can you go?
It's now the party of Trump, Todd. It's the party of Trump.
There's the answer, Jane.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We are coming up to the bottom of the hour news. Stay with us when we come back after the other side of the break. Fire alarm gate. More drama at the Capitol. It's on the way next. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump is at court in New York for a civil trial over his business dealings. He calls it a political witch hunt.
This trial was railroaded and fast-tracked. This trial could have been brought years ago, but they waited till I was right in the middle of my campaign.
Stands to lose prized properties like Trump Tower. Hollywood actors and studios sit down at the negotiating table today for the first time since the start of a strike in July. E.T.'s Kevin Frazier.
You're getting dangerously close to the holiday season, all those movies that actors can't promote. You could wipe out all the TV shows for the winter if you continue this strike or if it goes on much longer.
Two scientists, one American, the other Hungarian, have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for research that led to mRNA COVID vaccines.
And had a major impact on society during the recent pandemic.
Nobel Assembly member Richard Sandberg. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Members of the Wisconsin Legislature's Administrative Rules Committee have blocked a proposed Wisconsin Commercial Building Code update with a 6-4 vote. The building code update would have brought standards in line with the 2021 standards of the International Code Council, with advocates saying it would save energy, improve safety, and lower insurance costs. Republican lawmakers say DSPS failed to ascertain if the update would result in added costs to government or businesses. Two proposed bills in the Wisconsin State Legislature would hamper the annual World Naked Bike Ride in Madison. Last week, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany of Northern Wisconsin brought the World Naked Bike Ride up while questioning U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland in a hearing. Wisconsin State Republicans now seek to change state law to end the current form of the event, circulating two bills for co-sponsors last week. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com.
Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry on maternity leave. We saw pictures of little Francis Louise on Thursday. All is well. Todd Albaugh is here.
Greg Frankie Fox, Lou.
Frankie Lou. And I pestered her yesterday for a couple more pictures because I was feeling the need to see her. She's a tiny little bean.
Oh, she's so tiny.
She is. She's a tiny little bean. I know she's long, but Kristen shared some pictures with her father, who's like 6'9", and she looks shaped like a doll.
I think she qualifies as itty bitty whittle.
Itty bitty whittle. That's a good way to put it. Hopefully we will get them on in the next couple of weeks, and maybe Kristen will join us by StreamYard and introduce little Frances Louise to the world. So we will keep you posted on that. Right now, though, we're going to talk about, fire alarm gate. It happened over the weekend. Democratic U.S. Representative Jamal Bowman facing an investigation on Sunday, the morning after he pulled a fire alarm in the Capitol complex as his party was trying to delay a key vote. An image released by Capitol Police showed Bowman activating the fire alarm near the exit to an office building which houses congressional offices. Police said they were investigating as the House Administration Committee, a Republican-controlled congressional panel, oversees House grounds. In a statement, Bowman admitted to pulling the fire alarm, which he said he regretted, but disputed he did so to delay the vote. They were just about to vote on the bill to keep the government open for 45 days. But they had unveiled it at the last minute. Apparently, Democrats want more time to actually have a chance to read the thing. Today, quote, says Bowman, as I was rushing to make a vote, I came to a door that's usually open for votes, but today would not open. I'm embarrassed to admit that I activated the fire alarm, mistakenly thinking it would open the door. I regret this and sincerely apologize for any confusion this may have caused. Some House Republicans calling for Bowman to resign. Although such a step appears unlikely, especially given that several members are facing arguably more serious legal and ethical questions. You think? Really? You think? George Santos was asked about this. And George Santos, the Republican from New York, who essentially his entire resume was a lie, says this is unacceptable. I just burst out laughing.
Well, Derek Van Orten posted pictures of it with, like, he must face the law. I'm like, weren't you in Washington on January 6th? What are we talking about the law right now?
Weren't you the guy who was yelling drunkenly at a bunch of high school pages when they were apparently doing something that pages have all done through history, which is to lie on the floor and to take pictures of the ceiling, which is pretty spectacular? You mean that Derek Van Orten?
He's just
that guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, that guy.
They're all great.
So, Todd, what is your reaction to fire alarm gate?
Well, I think it's two separate issues, right? I think to compare it, you know, I just think it's two separate issues. A, number one, this guy, Bowman from the Democrat, he's a bonehead. I mean, they just call it out. I mean, there's literally video of it. I think what he's trying to compare it to is, I'm sure many of us who have been in public buildings, sometimes you'll see a door that says, if you push this, it will set off a fire alarm, and you'll push the door to go out. That's not what he did. He literally went to one of the red boxes on the wall and pulled the lever. That's what it was. All right. So this whole thing about, oh, I thought by pulling a fire alarm, it would open the door. It's horse crap. So just stop trying to make this up and admit. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing I'll say. Did the Republicans try to push through this continuing resolution without proper time to review it? Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Have Democrats and Republicans both done this kind of stuff since God was a boy? Yes. Unfortunately, that's the way government works. You know, is it wrong? Yes, absolutely. But good Lord, you don't go pull a fire alarm. I mean, that is an offense punishable by time in jail and thousands of dollars in fine. If I go to my local AMC movie theater and pull the alarm, Todd can't just say, oh, geez, I thought I was going to open the door to get popcorn. I mean, I'm in the hooskow, all right, as well I should be.
I'm going to call the cops because you went to AMC. My gosh.
Well, that's true. Fair enough. But I mean, I'm just saying this whole narrative that oh, I thought it was going to open the door, it's crap. I mean, he thought he was being cute by half. Like, oh, I think I'll pull the fire alarm and get a couple of extra hours to look at this.
Yeah.
It was just stupid. And to his credit, Hakeem Jeffries pulled the guy in his office right away. And I can only imagine the paint that was coming off the walls in that meeting. All right. Because Hakeem Jeffries, I think, is one of the best leaders that we've had in Congress in a heck of a long time. And it's beneath Democrats. It's beneath Hakeem Jeffries. And look, it doesn't matter what organization you're in. You've always got one bad apple in the bunch. And this guy's just a goofball. Now, Do I think he should be expelled from Congress? To your point, Jane, no. If George Santos is making everything up, I mean, if that's not a case, George Santos attacking this Bauman guy, if that's not the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's astonishing to me. And but you're right. Jamal Bauman is a moron for thinking he could get away with this. Good heavens, man. There are cameras, as we have learned, everywhere. You just can't do that stuff and think you're going to get away with it. And it is a petty, cheap stunt. Don't they have aren't there other mechanisms, Todd, to, didn't Hakeem Jeffries have, what, his magic minute that he could talk for essentially a certain period of time to give them a little more time to look over this bill?
Right. It's been a while since I worked for a member of Congress since the 90s, and I'm sure Republicans have changed the floor rules a little bit since then. But yes, I mean, leadership has ways to have certain amounts of time. It's ultimately up to the chair, meaning McCarthy or whoever he puts in the place in the chair. They can pretty much do anything they want, and House rules, like a lot of these floor rules in government, to those of us in America, make no sense but to your point, yes, there are certain things you could do, but as I said before, both Republicans and Democrats from the beginning of time have used these nuances of floor rules to get through what they want. It's just the way the government works. Doesn't mean that it's right, but it means that's the way that it works. And so, yes, I think there certainly should have been more time for Democrats or anyone, reporters, Americans, to review what they're about to vote on, but you don't go pull a fire alarm on this. So, it's just goofy.
It was stupid and ridiculous, and he should be punished for it. I'm not saying that he should just walk away from this with no consequences, but expelling him from Congress, George Santos?
Are you sure?
Come on.
And also in all the travels on the Twitters and the Instagrams and all the social medias, I don't know of any Democratic leaders who aren't at the very least saying, you know, he'll be punished. And it was done. Like, you know, there was no defense of the action and no trying to sweep it under the rug. Everyone's like, yeah, it was dumb and he will be dealt with in one way or the other. But let's move on.
But again, go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say
this is right out of the playbook of Democrats or Republicans. This is right out of the Republican playbook. If you have a problem, create a diversion. If you have a problem that you're helping Vladimir Putin and the spread of communism in Europe, talk about the border with Mexico. If you have a problem that you're ramming through bad legislation without proper time, focus on the one person who is a bonehead and pulled a fire alarm instead of talking about your real problems in your own house or the fact that you have a guy, George Santos, to your point, Jane, who, I mean, it's the ultimate catch me if you can character. I mean, there is nothing truthful about this guy.
Seriously.
Look at your own, or Matt Gaetz, who has pending sexual abuse charges, and he's working with Lauren Boebert, who is, you know, getting herself felt up and giving a handy in a theater. Look at those people. Look at those people first. I mean, come on. Look at your own house. Don't pick on the one goofball who threw a fire alarm.
And my favorite thing about Lauren Bobo Boebert is that when confronted with this on whatever network she was talking to, probably OAN or something like that, she said, well, it's been a long time since I've been dating, and they didn't have infrared cameras back then. It wasn't, we shouldn't have done that in a public place at a children's, you know, at a performance where children were there. It was, well, it's perfectly fine, except now they have cameras. Whoopsie.
Right.
Bad on me.
And again, I've said this on my show, I'll continue to say it. There, by the grace of God, go I. I am not the perfect person in the world by any means, shape, or form. But this is a person, Boebert, and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, who are continually judging others, attacking the LGBTQ+ community, attacking trans people, which are part of LGBTQ, but I mean, attacking kids for being who they are and wanting to live their true, authentic lives, and yet there is it's the hypocrisy, Jane and Greg. It's the hypocrisy of these people acting holier than thou and putting their Bibles, you know, standing on their Bibles, some case literally and figuratively, and then they're living completely different lives.
Living her Christian values every day. Todd Alba, living her Christian values every day. That's Lauren Bobo Bobert.
Which includes a little honk on the Bobos. See, I said it.
That's exactly what was going down in more ways than one. But here's the thing. You had Greg from Economowoc that was called in, I believe, on our show last week. He teaches a Christian class in Economowoc, like a Christian Bible study, whatever. And we had a great talk about this on Friday. He said, there is nothing Christian about what these people are doing. This judgment, this hate, it's contrary to the actual teachings of Christ, which are love, compassion, acceptance. You know, so these are not Christian values that they're using. They are Trumpism values that are being masked by Christian values. And quite frankly, it's sad.
And Todd, that's the funny thing. We've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and we will. There, a couple of articles came out regarding the evangelical Christian right now looking at the words of Jesus as liberal talking points, weak. I mean,
right? Not masculine.
What are we doing? Where are we? What, the multiverse is real and this is awful.
I mean, I've heard you talk, Greg. I mean, you have Christian background. I mean, I grew up a Methodist. I was a youth director in our church for a while. I was essentially the assistant pastor until I left the Methodist church because, like the Republican Party, it got very political. And now the Methodist church is being divided over same-sex marriage. And it's your point, Greg, that here's the test, folks. For those who are just part of your Lutheran church, your Methodist church in rural Wisconsin or any place, look at what the actions are to the actual words of Christ in your Bible. And just compare them. Don't listen to Todd. Don't listen to anybody. Look at the actual words of Christ and ask yourself, is this really what Christ would have done? Because I don't remember Christ ever walking into the temple and saying, you know, make more money. I mean, that wasn't the point, you understand. Or thou shalt love everybody except. I don't recall that passage in the Bible when I studied.
He was big on thou shalt pull thyself up by thy own bootstraps, however, is from what I understand. No, it does seem to me like, you know, the New Testament, it's called new for a reason because the message was different compared to the Old Testament, which was big on smiting. There was lots of smiting. And Jesus, at least from what I understand, and I was Catholic, raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic school for 8 years. And I just feel like today's Republicans are much more smitey kind of.
They're all about the smite.
They're all about the smite.
They're smitey and they're you know, just bad. They're just bad.
It's just, again, it is. I think it's the glaring hypocrisy that jumps out. Every time something like this happens,
that's what it is for me.
It's just stunning. It's like, whoa. Okay. We have one more segment with our friend Todd Alba. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It is going to be sunny and warm again today. 84 our high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 63. Tomorrow partly cloudy, becoming breezy. 81 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Wednesday. After that, it's going to be cooler. Wednesday's high 71. We're talking highs in the low 50s by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
On the board, we are joined every Monday for the next couple of months with our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. You can catch it 1 to 3 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are going to move on for this last segment, Todd and Greg, just to talk about the fact that Donald Trump actually showed up in court today in New York City.
How about that?
I know.
Amazing when your money is at threat.
Then you show up.
Democracy, the country, voting, not so much. But, you know, boy, Trump Tower, I'll be there.
But I do find it interesting that because he's not going to be called to testify or anything, this is not a jury trial. No one requested a jury trial on this. So he's not going to be able to speak. And I can only think sitting there having to listen to people talk about how they overvalued all of their properties, essentially lied about it in order to get more favorable loan terms and things like that, that's just going to make him explode.
You would think, which of course only hurts him. I don't know. I'm the last person to think I could get inside of Trump's head or mind. And quite frankly, I don't want to be there. But the only thing I can think of, and maybe Matt Flynn or Maggie Dawn from an attorney standpoint would be better suited to speak to this. But the only thing I can think of is that by showing up in person, he wants to telegraph to the judge, hey, this is important to me. I'm taking this seriously. I'm not blowing it off. You know, please don't punish me to the full extent of the law because I'm here and I want to work with you. Now, I think most people are going to say, a little too late for that, Don. But I mean, maybe because his attorneys are going to try not to let him speak. I mean, he can't jump up and say, I object. Only the attorneys could do that, you know. You know, so I mean, but wouldn't that be a great? I mean, it's like The Apprentice, right? I mean, Trump, you know, come on, Judge, are you kidding me? You know, that'd be fantastic if he could, but he can't.
Well, right, that right for sure. But you know, he also took the opportunity while in the courthouse to slam this judge, to slam the prosecutor, to basically try and use this as a little campaign stop before he actually went into the courtroom. And at some point, you have to wonder whether or not this gag order involved in, I believe it's the Georgia case, because there's a bunch of other things going on, that someone's going to jump in there and say, you can't keep insulting and threatening our prosecutors and our judges.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Shane. It'll be very interesting to see what Jack Smith, the Washington, D.C. case, who's been, the judge in the D.C. case. I'm sorry, I forget her name right now.
Chittagan?
Thank you. Yep. Be very interesting. because this is just more evidence of him speaking out. I mean, when you start talking about a sitting judge in your own case, and again, this is this thread of Trumpism violence, right? That the guy himself never says, hey, go hurt the judge, go kill General Milley, the outgoing or the just recently departed chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He never says, go do this.
Right.
He simply implies, well, back in the day, right, this is what would happen. Wouldn't it be terrible if? But that is telegraphing to his supporters of Trumpism, and that's where it gets very dangerous. And now Jack Smith and others have had to have round-the-clock security,
right,
because of this.
For them and their families.
Yes, yes.
844-967-2789. John is on the line. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I love your show today. Let's talk about President Trump. And you compare him to all the other presidents, even Nixon. President Trump, in my opinion, is a con artist. So, of course, he's going to lie about his assets to inflate his net worth. But maybe things will catch up to him real soon.
You have to wonder, John. I mean, he's juggling an awful lot of court cases right now. And after a life of not being held accountable for pretty much anything, maybe this will finally be it, that he's going to finally be held to account. The one interesting thing, I think, from this over-evaluating their properties, Eric Trump said that Mar-a-Lago in Florida is worth $1 billion. Well, if that's true, then they've been underpaying on their property taxes for a really long time. Really long time.
It's amazing how they inflate their assets like that. And then when they came back and someone said something to the effect of there's an $18 million value on Mar-a-Lago, they're offended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're not even talking about their tax debt right now.
Right.
He's got some felony charges and misdemeanor charges, not to mention back taxes.
Yeah, for sure, John. Thank you so much for calling. He's going to be dealing with a lot over the next few months. And before we go to break, I just want to share, again, this is from the Midas Touch. This is from Ron Filipowski talking about in the 2 weeks leading up to this past weekend, Trump gave speeches and interviews where he claimed you needed ID to buy a loaf of bread. President Biden was going to start World War II. Windmills are causing mental illness in whales. He would build canals to keep forest floors damp to prevent fires. He mocked Paul Pelosi for the attack in his home when he was attacked by a man with a hammer. He said Jeb Bush invaded Afghanistan, that he defeated Obama in the 2016 election, that he'll have the DOJ investigate local DAs for racism against white people, and that he won California because it was rigged. And now, I know Joe Biden's age comes up a lot. He is not a spring chicken. He has made some gaffes, but at least he doesn't say that windmills are causing mental illness in orcas.
I mean,
I really would. Go ahead, girl.
I was going to say, if he doesn't care about the poor, why does he care about water wildlife?
Oh, he doesn't care about water wildlife. Yeah. He doesn't care about that. He's got this anti-windmill bias, man. Even though first he was all worried about the birds, and now it's the whales.
The poor little birds.
The poor little birds.
Oh, my God, they're going to fly to the windmill. It causes cancer in tiny mussels. I love eating
mussels.
He's
the Don Quixote kind of candidate. He's tilting at windmills.
Yeah, he sure is. But again, none of this seems to matter.
More like dumb Quixote, am I right?
Oh, nice one, Greg Bach.
Here's the question, guys, I think that listeners should ask themselves, particularly those who have veterans, their family, or military personnel. This is from this Atlantic article from last week on General Milley.
Yes.
He told General Milley when he saw a disabled veteran that General Milley had at an event, quote, "Who wants to see that? Get him out of here." I mean, is that something that you would vote for as a candidate for those of you across Wisconsin? I just don't think most Wisconsinites would vote for that, but that's my take. Also, quickly, Kristen and Mike, congratulations. I want to get my thanks on our congratulations out to them. And baby Frankie looks amazing.
She does. Todd Alba, thank you so very much for joining us. We will talk to you next Monday. Stick around as Goes Wisconsin continues after the break. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.